The writer David Michaelis read decades' worth of Peanuts cartoons by Charles Schulz. Michaelis was researching the cartoonist's life for a biography, and he noticed a lot of connections between the childhood angst depicted on the pages and Charles Schulz's life. Consider a strip where Snoopy flops on top of his doghouse and sighs.
"That girl Beagle I met at the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm is really something. I wonder why I liked her so much. I think it's because we teased each other. We laughed a lot, and we teased each other. And then there were those soft paws. Wow."
Snoopy is read by David Michaelis. Schulz's readers would have encountered something cute there, but Michaelis thinks that he encountered something more because of a postcard that Schulz wrote on the same day the strip was published. And Mr. Michaelis, what was it?
It's a postcard to a woman in California whom he had met several months before and fallen in love with.
And he was married to another woman at the time.
His first wife, Joyce Halverson, with whom he had then been married some 19 years, and their marriage was strained. And Schulz discovered an enormous rush of feeling about being liked by this young woman. And he began writing letters and especially drawings the very day he met her. And those drawings and letters really went on for the next 2 years.
You're saying that Charles Schulz, even as he was spitting out this fantasy of childhood on the page, he was expressing his own private life, his own secrets.
We often forget when we think of Schulz how easy it was for a cartoonist to have an inner life. And this was a man in love. This was Charlie Brown in love. He was expressing his tenderest feelings and his strongest emotions.
And you write that he finally got caught in this affair because his wife saw all the long-distance phone calls he'd made to his girlfriend, and then you reprint a Peanuts strip in which Charlie Brown yells at Snoopy to stop making those long-distance phone calls.
Schulz had a very profound relationship with the reader of his strip, and I think what he was doing so often was he was communicating directly to a reader. The reader, I suppose, in his mind or heart may have been someone long gone, like his mother. He was constantly using the strip to communicate with people whom he admired. He would write a strip about Andrew Wyeth, and then a correspondence would begin. He would write a strip about Cheryl Teagues, his fellow Minnesotan, and a correspondence would begin. Shirley Temple, Sonia Henney. Peanuts was a way for him to be in touch with the world and yet remain at a remove from it that was comfortable.
How did he grow up in Minnesota?
He grew up the son of a barber. He went to the local schools, and his mother was the daughter of a Norwegian farmer. He had a very extraordinary sense of himself in one area especially. That was, of course, drawing and cartooning. And yet the world around him forbade him in certain ways to think very big of himself. In fact, I think his father's continual rejoinder to him was, "Don't get a big head." Well, then we see him years later creating this extraordinary cartoon character, Charlie Brown, who has an enormous head. Charlie Brown in the early years had very grandiose dreams of becoming president, of becoming a general. He was constantly, of course, thwarted and put back down. Charles Schulz endured a great deal to become the creator of Peanuts. And I think that fortitude of lasting and enduring and getting up again and again and again to bring your comic strips to syndicates, to absorb rejection and move on every day was at the core both of his personality and, of course, at the core of Charlie Brown.
What sort of rejection did he face once he got going?
Well, this is the puzzling part of the Charles Schulz story. From the moment Peanuts began, it was a continual story of success. But no matter how his work rewarded him, no matter how the world beloved him, he held grudges and nursed injury and felt hurt and misunderstood.
How edgy or neurotic or original or disturbing did this strip seem in its earlier years?
From the beginning, Charles Schulz's Peanuts was the beat strip. It was the existential comic strip. To hear someone say in 1951-52, "I'm depressed, I don't fit in, I feel alienated," you would have to, in those days, have gone to a supper club and heard Mort Saul doing his routine.
I'm flipping through here looking for an example of the edginess that you're talking about.
For example, Charlie Brown's racing for home and he's thrown out at the plate and his entire team comes out and says, "Charlie Brown, you blockhead." Well, we know that joke, but in those days, Schulz would keep Charlie Brown lying there on the third base side. Night came on the first day. He would look up into the black sky, and he would ask a single question, "Why?" This next day, the same question, but more. "Why? Why?" The third, fourth, fifth, sixth day, Charles Schulz kept his character, Charlie Brown, lying on the third base side, looking up into a dark, inky void as if he were an Ionesco character or someone out of a Beckett play, asking the most profound question that you can ask about yourself, which is, why?
And when you say third, fourth, fifth day, you're saying in actual days, in actual newspaper time.
In actual newspaper time, daily after daily after daily, there lay Charlie Brown looking up into the dark sky.
And where did that depth come from?
I think Schultz was a complicated guy. I think he had an inner life. He wandered through much of his early childhood lonely. He had an ambitious and strongly organized and punctual and practical side. And then he had this dreaming side where he was constantly scribbling with a little pencil.
Was he a good man?
He was a good man. He was a charming man. He was a funny man. He was kind. But I think he always said, I wished I were more carefree. I wish I had an easier feeling of getting on in the world.
Some of Schultz's surviving family members have made news in recent days by saying they think that your book, which they've read advanced copies of, make him out to be a cold, ruthless womanizer, not a very nice guy at all.
Well, I appreciate what they're saying. I think it's not easy to find yourself in, or someone you love, in a biography. It's not easy to relinquish the childlike idea that we all have or want to have of a father who's all good. Some of the remarks I've heard made, one daughter casting him as Christ-like and his widow saying he was more like the Buddha. Was he fun? Yes, of course. Was he morose? Yes, of course. And he may not have been melancholy at home, but he was melancholy on the page.
I wonder if we could conclude by getting you to help us work through one of the earliest Peanuts strips. There's just two kids sitting on a stoop somewhere, and Charlie Brown is passing by. And over the course of the four frames, Charlie Brown is going to pass by, pass in front of them, and go right on out of sight. What did the kids say?
Well, here comes old Charlie Brown. Good old Charlie Brown. Yes, sir. Good old Charlie Brown. How I hate him.
David Michaelis. He is author of a new biography of Charles Schultz. It's called Schultz and Peanuts. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
And you can read about the way Charles Schultz's relationship with his mother affected his characters at npr.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Deborah Amos.